And it's so good to see so many kids coming out to learn more about the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad that Jesus loves me. It's a tremendous blessing to know of His great love for us. And we realize that Jesus Christ is perfect. So His love for us is perfect and complete. And He paid for and demonstrated that love when He died on the cross for our sins. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We have the privilege of being able to look into God's Word, the perfect God who can reveal to us His perfect truth. And that's why it's important for us to focus not just on the sayings of men, but on the Word of God. And so before we read the portion, let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You once again to acknowledge that we need You. We need Your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to behold the wonderful truths of Your Word. And Father, we want to return to You the love that You've demonstrated for us. And so we want You to know that we love You. We want to live our lives to honor You and to demonstrate our love by keeping Your Word. So we ask that Your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to behold the truths from Your Word and help us, Father, not just to be hearers of Your Word, but to be doers, that we might imitate and follow the teachings of Your Word, that our lives might become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that You would guide and give strength and use this time to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. I know Philip and Michelle are heading down to New York City right now, so they'd appreciate our prayers as well. We will be taking Heather back to South Carolina, going to Florida, leaving Saturday, so we'll be gone the next two Sundays. We appreciate prayer for the Lord's mercies as we travel and as we seek to be a witness for Him. But Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another." So just three short verses. We looked at those last month, but the Lord laid on my heart to just touch some more on this concept of liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Last month, we looked at this passage and we saw that there was four purposes for our liberty in Christ. But one thing we realize is that liberty is not a license to sin. It's not a license to do whatever we want to do. We're still bound by a holy God who has holy standards. And He's revealed those very clearly in His Word. But the four purposes of our liberty was that we would be able to control the fleshly desires. And secondly, that we would be able to serve others. And one of the things we need to realize when we're talking about serving others is that's the example that the Lord Jesus Christ gave for us. In Mark chapter 10, it tells us that Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve. The human nature is to want to sit back and say, okay, serve me. But that's not the attitude that Christ demonstrated. And so the liberty that we have in Christ is not that we can just sit back and let people serve us, but we are to serve others. Then the third purpose of our liberty in Christ is that we can fulfill God's moral standards. His moral standards have not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the reason God has given us moral standards in His Word is that we can know what is best for us. Because that's what God wants. He wants what's best for each one of us. And so He's given different commandments in Scripture, things that we are not to do and things that we are to do, because it's for our own well-being. He created us, and He knows the best way that we need to live. And then the fourth purpose of our liberty in Christ is that we can control our lips. That's the one verse that we didn't cover last time, verse 15, where it said, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." There's a tremendous temptation, I guess, today to gossip, to be very critical of one another. At work, I see it all the time, especially certain individuals. They seem to have developed the habit of complaining about everything. And, of course, we know the teaching of God's Word is that we have to do all things without complaining. That's a commandment of God's Word. Complaining does not help us, does it? It doesn't make us feel good. It doesn't make us feel better. And it actually makes us feel worse. But in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus shares of the importance of being careful of what we say. In Matthew chapter 15, in fact, I remember when I was in elementary school that often we would say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." But I can testify that words really did hurt. And so we need to be careful of what we say. But in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at Matthew 12 first. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. Jesus is speaking and he says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word that men shall speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And so the things that people say is demonstrating what is in their heart. Last time we commented on the truth that throughout human history, God was always concerned that we not just worship Him with our lips, but with our hearts. He expects a heart worship, a heart relationship with Him. And so, what proceeds out of our mouths demonstrates what's in our hearts, what is controlling us. Later in Galatians chapter 5, we'll be looking into what it means to walk in the Spirit, as well versus the works of the flesh. So before we got into that, I really wanted to get down to the aspect of liberty in Christ and how it affects our lives day by day. It's important that we are very careful on the things we say. And that means we need to control what we think. But in Ephesians chapter 4, I memorized this verse when I was just a new believer reading through God's Word. I saw this and I thought, boy, I need to correct how I talk, what I say. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, it says, verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So we need to be careful not to let any corrupt word proceed out of our mouth, but only what is good to edify or to encourage or to build up one another. We have to be careful what we say. And so that's the warning that Paul gave the Galatian believers. It appears that they were having a problem with biting and devouring one another with words, being very critical of one another, and being a poor testimony to those in the community. So God is concerned of the things we say, as well as the things we do. And there's a certain way in the in the scriptures we are described as a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a short walk, but it's a walk that consists of our entire lifetime. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it tells us how we are to walk, and it simply says that for we walk by faith and not by sight. It's important that we walk by faith. For our family devotions, we've been going through Exodus, we've been going through the 10 plagues just recently, and we have a game of Moses, and it helps them to learn about that time period in the life of Moses and in God's Word. And one of the things that it keeps emphasizing is the need to please God by faith. In fact, in Hebrews 11:6, it tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we have a lot of people today who says, well, I believe in God. You know, He is a part of my life. But they want to maintain control. They don't want to surrender their lives completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. A little religion is okay. And we're not talking about religion. We're talking about a heart relationship with the Lord. A personal relationship. And that can only happen as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Simply believing and trusting in Him. Committing our lives to Him. Knowing that He would direct our lives according to His perfect will. And so we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And then in Colossians chapter 3, earlier in Galatians, we had spent an entire message in just the need to have a proper focus, that our focus had to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, the first three verses, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we are to seek, and that Greek word is a continuous tense, which means to keep on seeking. Not just something we do once. It's something that we constantly have to do. We have to keep seeking to focus on Christ. He's at the place of authority, at the right hand of God. We have to set our minds on the things above. So our proper focus as we walk through this life is to be directed above to where Christ is. Not to be completely caught up in all the things of this life. We realize that we live in this world and we have to function. Our needs have to be provided for. But in everything that we do, everything we think, everything we say, the central focus is to be Jesus Christ. That's the liberty we have in Christ Jesus. We're not bound by legalism. We're not bound by any set of moral standards that we have to keep to earn our salvation. We are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ. He did it all. He paid the price. And it's through faith in what He's done, of course, that we have the forgiveness of sin and we have the power to live the life that He wants us to live. The last time when I was talking, I had mentioned just about the piercing of ears, and I noticed some of the women kind of were squirmish and kind of set up to listen to what I was going to say about piercing the ears. And I wasn't going to talk about that. We just looked in the one place in Scripture that talks about the piercing of ears, which was an ordinance given to the Jewish people when the Jewish slave said, I want willingly to surrender my life to you as my master. I want to serve you for my whole life. And as a testimony of that, they had their ear pierced. That's the only mention in Scripture about the piercing of ears. But what I want to focus on this morning is the fact that there are many things in our life that are not mentioned specifically in Scripture. As we grow, we establish certain convictions about things from the time you're very young. We learn a lot about convictions from our parents, our family life, from the peers, the friends that we get to know, from our communities, many different things. And things change. Culture changes. And so we need to realize that when we read God's Word, we get biblical convictions, and sometimes we have to change the convictions we had before. But even as we grow in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, many times situations come up. And a lot of times we ask ourselves, well, is it okay for Christians to do this? And sometimes even in the question box that we have in the back of the chapel, we have some questions. Is it okay to do certain things? And some of those questions will be addressed in the future. But it's very important that we realize that our proper focus is to be on Jesus Christ, and we need to seek His will, His guidance. And our convictions that we have need to be surrendered to the teachings of God's Word. Some of the personal convictions are just that, they're personal. But sometimes Christians and people in general, if they're not careful, can demand other people to have their conviction. And it's just something that's personal between them and the Lord. But I think it's important for us to look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. So we are not to judge another man's servant. They stand or fall based on their relationship with their judge, their ruler, their master. And so I've realized for quite some time that when Scripture is silent on something, we need to be silent too. Some things are just between us and the Lord. And Paul, what he does in Romans, Galatians, and different passages, even in Colossians, he says sometimes certain days are more special or more important than other days to other people. One of the problems that they had was that meat sacrificed to idols. Was it okay for a Christian to eat that meat? And Paul said, you have to be careful. You have to go by your conscience. So what I've done is I've written down 10 questions that we can ask ourselves to determine God's will for our lives. And I've typed some, made some copies. I've typed some up on paper. If any of you want a copy of it, you can come up and get one after the service. But we just want to focus, and these questions, of course, have to be based on God's Word. So the first question that we need to ask ourselves, I know as young people, sometimes a young person will say, well, is it okay for Christians to go to the prom? Piercing of ears, different things that come up. These questions are given as a guide to help us determine if it's okay for us in our walk with the Lord. So 10 questions that we can ask to determine God's will. The first and most important question is, does the Bible say anything about it? Does the Bible say it is wrong? In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, Paul asks the question, what do the Scriptures say? Do the Scriptures say anything about this issue? In John 14, 21, it says, Jesus is talking and he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. A proof of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is our desire and our willingness to want to obey His word, to keep His commandments. And we need to take Scripture as a whole. We need to take it in context. We need to determine, honestly, Lord, have you forbidden this? If the Bible says it's wrong, it doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter what people say. We have to obey God's word. And then the second question is found in Romans chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. It says, do you have faith? Have it to yourselves before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself and what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So the second question we can ask ourselves is, do I have doubts about it being right? If we have doubts, it's better to give God the benefit of the doubt and say, I will not do that because I want to honor my master with my life. It has to be done by faith. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the third question is, will it glorify God? Will it honor His name? It's very important, because we don't want to bring hindrance to anyone coming to know Jesus Christ. That's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. We need to glorify God with our lives. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So the fourth question is, will it be an encouragement to others? So will it encourage others? It may be okay for us to do. The Bible doesn't condemn it. But is it going to be a discouragement or a hindrance to others? And that brings us to the next question. Will it cause others to stumble? And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And if you notice, a lot of these principles are in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians was a book of correction. The Corinthian believers had a lot of problems, and Paul addresses these in many different ways. So 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9, but beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. So we have to make sure it's not going to be a stumbling block to others. And Paul even testified that when he was in certain areas, certain countries, with certain people, he would act differently. When he was in Jerusalem, he would act as the Jew under the law, even though he wasn't under the law. He didn't want to cause someone to stumble. But even in Galatians chapter 5, when he talks about the liberty, in chapter 1, he tells the believers to stand fast in that liberty. Don't allow the legalists to hinder your freedom that you have in Christ. But then at the same time, he says, remember that our liberty is to be controlled by love, by our concern for other people. We're not to focus on ourselves, but on the Lord and then on others. So will it cause others to stumble? When Joan and I were in Africa and we went out to this village, the custom was that they would get the best meal that they had available to give to those visiting. And so when we sat down at the meal and we noticed the shape of the meat that they had put on the plate before us, that it's not something we really wanted to eat. But we didn't want to offend or cause them to stumble in their faith. So we graciously ate it and we thanked them for it. And afterwards, we said, by the way, what was this that we were eating? And they said it was rat. And but God gives grace. You know. So sometimes in different countries, we have to refrain from doing certain things. And we have to do things we really don't want to do. And you know, that takes focus, doesn't it? Not on what we're eating, but on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Lord, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. And we trust him to protect us from that. And then Philippians 4, verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 9. It says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you see the confidence of the Apostle Paul? What you see me doing, you imitate. So the question we need to ask ourselves as well is it worth imitating? Not all things are. Sometimes we see Christians doing some things, and we say, well, then it must be okay to do. Is it worth imitating? And these other questions can sometimes help clarify that. But Paul walked with the Lord, and his life was worth imitating. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect, is our supreme example of one that we are to imitate. And then also in verse 8 of Philippians 4, I read that since they're right together. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. So we need to ask the question, will it hurt my mind? I've read of different Christians saying, well, it's okay to look at another woman, but it's not. We have to make sure that we're thinking of things that are good and true. My little son, Ethan, is afraid of the dark. He gets really scared at night. Sometimes he wakes up at night and all of a sudden I hear the door open quick and I hear him running to his sister's room. He wants somebody there to comfort him. And I was really encouraged last night. We were sitting and talking before we prayed when he goes to sleep. And we were talking about this. And he says, but Dan, sometimes I try to think of these good things, these good thoughts. But then all of a sudden something scary comes to my mind. I says, it takes a lot of work, doesn't it? We have to control our thoughts. Because the things we think will eventually come out in action. Whether it's the things we say or the things we do. We need to be very careful. So will it hurt my mind? And then back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 12. There's two questions actually in this portion. In the first part it says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So not all things are helpful. Will it hurt my body? Is it harmful to me? And then it also, will it enslave me? Will it control me? Now, a lot of times when we think of that, we think of smoking or even alcoholism, where it controls you. You have to do it. And so the principle is we would not allow our body to be controlled by anything that will enslave us. But then we know, even though the Bible doesn't say do not smoke, we know from this principle that smoking enslaves you, and therefore it's not good. And we know, too, it's harmful for the body. So in Philippians chapter 1, this would be the 10th question. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." So the 10th question that we can ask ourselves, is it the best? Because it says here, there are things that are excellent. A lot of times with my older kids, I tell them that the Bible teaches that we are not to be unequally yoked with non-believers. A Christian is to marry a Christian. But I stress to them that a Christian is not to marry any Christian. It depends on their relationship. That's why we teach our children about courtship and the needs for the parents to be involved and to give them some guidance. We want our kids to marry the best choice that God has for them. And I share with them that it's better to spend 5 less years with the perfect mate than 5 more years with the wrong one. There's a lot of couples that shouldn't really have gotten married. And they made mistakes. And they need to stay together to honor the Lord and to have God bring them together into that union that they need to be in. This takes a lot of commitment. We're not just talking about, well, I want to think it's okay, or I want to believe it's okay. It's, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me not to do? So it comes to the point where Jesus Christ truly needs to be the Lord of our lives. Not just our Savior, but He needs to be the Lord, the Master. And that we need to have that desire to want to willingly surrender our life, our decisions to Him every day. And the key verse for that is in Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, where it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And that's what we have to realize, is God's word, God's will is perfect. It's the very best. Sometimes when I talk with non-believers, the number one reason they give for not accepting Christ as the Savior is that they have to stop doing things they want to do. But when you're in a love relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not important. We're willing to give up all for Him because we know that He loves us and He wants what's best for us. We don't always know. So day by day as we go through life, our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ. And we need to have the attitude, Lord, guide my decisions. Guide the choices that I make. One of the verses we read, it talked about the knowledge and discernment. It's important for us to have knowledge and discernment. And that we surrender all of our plans, all of our desires. A long time ago, I heard the story from Otto Koning. He came to a church that I was attending, And he was a missionary to Papua New Guinea. And a lot of you have heard it. I've shared it in the past. But his desire, his one weakness was that he loved pineapple. And he brought pineapple to Papua New Guinea and he planted it. And his daily desire was for the day when those pineapples would ripen and he could cut them and eat them and enjoy them. But the people that he was working with in the community realized that because they saw how much tender care he took of those plants, how much time he spent nurturing them. And they said, why is he so, they didn't know what pineapples were. Why is he so crazy about these plants? And he was constantly sharing with them that they needed to know Jesus Christ as the Savior and that they needed to surrender their life, their life's desires to the Lord. And so as these pineapples, when they saw him go out, he says, this is the one that's going to be ripe. Tomorrow I'm going to cut this one and enjoy it. That morning when he went out to get it, it was gone. And he saw these people over in the corner of the field laughing. And he yelled at them and chased them, and they ran off with the pineapple. And this kept happening with each pineapple as it ripened. And he got so upset and so angry. Then he realized, what am I angry about? And the Lord spoke to his heart as he was reading Romans 12, 1 and 2, and he said, Lord, I need to surrender these pineapples to you. I give these pineapples to you out of my love and service for you. So the next morning, the same people came and they stole the pineapple, and out of Conan went out and he looked and he just walked back in his house. He didn't yell and scream in anger. And it was a short time after that, there was a knock on the door, and he went to the door, and it was these people that were stealing his pineapples. And they were asking, Otto, you didn't get angry. Why? He says, because they're not my pineapples. Yes, they are. They're your pineapples. They're growing in your garden. He says, no, I gave them to God. And they got very serious on their face and very scared. And they said, no, you take them back. They're your pineapples. No, they're God's. Because then the people realized they were stealing from God, the Creator. And they came back and they gave all the pineapples back. Because they didn't know what to do with them anyway. They thought it was fun to see how he reacted. You know? But it taught him a very serious lesson. And all through our daily lives, we have experiences that God will bring into our lives to develop convictions and to strengthen our faith. And Otto Koning realizes, we all need to realize, is that Jesus Christ needs to be Lord of every area of our life. He needs to be Lord of day-to-day decisions. A lot of times we focus on retirement. We focus on vacations. We focus on our time. How are we going to use our time? Our relationships with other people. Everything that we have to decide day by day needs to be on the altar. We need to willingly place that there and say, Lord, my life is yours. Use it to glorify your Son. That's the guide. That's the principle of our liberty in Jesus Christ. We use our freedom to serve Him. And like I said, the guiding principle of the liberty from the passage in Galatians is love. It's first of all a love for God, then it's a love for others. But a lot of times, the love for self gets in the way. We tend to be selfish beings. But we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just two verses in closing. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 36. A person came to Jesus and said, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that's what Paul was saying in Galatians. Love is the fulfillment of the law. If you truly love someone, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to hurt them in any way. And then John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So we're not to bite and devour one another, but to demonstrate love. Just as Christ loved us, that same degree, that perfect love that Christ has for us, we are to seek to demonstrate that to one another. May the Lord help us to surrender our thoughts, our words, and our lives totally over to Him. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You for giving us Your words so that we can know the truth. We realize that the truth of Your words sets us free from the law of sin and slavery. Father, we acknowledge that we are free to live our lives for You once we trust Christ as our Savior. We realize that it's very important for that decision to be made in our lives where we surrender. We acknowledge the truth that our righteousness is as filthy rags in Your sight, that there's nothing we could ever do to earn our salvation, that it's simply taking what You have provided to redeem us from our sins, and that's the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We realize that there's no greater example of what true love is all about. And so we thank You for Your love. And Father, we realize that we demonstrate our love to You by seeking to walk by faith, to seek to honor You with our lives, to obey Your word. And so we ask that You would help us in our day-to-day lives, in every situation that we face, that we would say, "Lord, what do You want me to do?" We pray for wisdom and discernment, and that we might glorify You with our lives day by day. And may all on the altar of sacrifice be laid, that we might honor You with our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.